Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Texas Supreme Court unanimously rejects expanding abortion. We're going to be talking about this significant decision on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, this is an amazing decision from the Texas Supreme Court, unanimous decision. It rejected a pro-abortion challenge to expand the state's near-total abortion ban beyond its narrow exception for preserving the life of the mother.
Yeah, you know, Matt, this case centers around about 20 women who say that they were denied emergency abortions when their doctors were uncertain about what the state's Human Life Protection Act allowed them to do in certain medical cases. The plaintiffs, which include women and their doctors, complained the exception was confusing as well as unconstitutional if the law did not allow abortion under a broader set of pregnancy complications. And of course, the law right now in Texas protects life, and the life of the mother is the only exception in this case if her life is threatened.
Yeah, the lower trial court, interestingly, was very activist. It issued an order replacing the law's life-threatening requirement allowing abortion for any unsafe pregnancy and for fatal fetal anomalies. We're talking about the federal court actually rewrote the law. Mm. So the law actually has an exception if the mother's life is threatened to preserve the life of the mother. Then there's an exception to the abortion ban. But the federal court decided, well, he's going to rewrite the law and say, well, the exception also includes any, quote, unsafe pregnancy or any fatal fetal anomalies.
And that just opens the door up to all kinds of abortions right there.
Yeah, and at the behest of the plaintiffs, the trial court also changed the standard of how doctors determine when abortion is necessary from a reasonable medical judgment standard to a good faith belief standard, which would give doctors more discretion to abort unborn babies. I mean, this is unbelievable that a judge thinks that they have the ability to rewrite a federal statute.
That seems to be happening nowadays.
So this case went up to the Texas Supreme Court, and the Texas Supreme Court thankfully overruled that lower court decision, concluded that the law already gave doctors the legal authority to perform an abortion when necessary, but it's when necessary to preserve the life of the mother. It says Texas law permits a life-saving abortion. That's what the high court wrote. The law permits a physician to intervene to address a woman's life-threatening physical condition before death or if serious physical impairment are imminent. The state high court also expressly addressed the challenger's confusion about what is allowed under the law. The court said that any physician who tells a pregnant patient that they may die or suffer substantial physical impairment without an abortion and in the same breath says that the law will not allow it to simply is wrong. It's a wrong legal assessment. The court emphasized a mother need not be in imminent peril or first suffer impairment for doctors to intervene.
You know, you always have to remember that a doctor's, you know, takes an oath to first do no harm. And in the issue, when a mother is dealing with physical issues, the motive, the object is always to deliver a healthy child and save the mother. So the doctor has to make that decision. But in this case, this law is always protecting the life of the mother when necessary and avoiding an abortion when necessary.
Yeah, and the current law in this particular case says, the court wrote, plainly does not permit abortion based solely on a diagnosis an unborn child has an abnormal condition, even a life-limiting one. An unborn child's diagnosis must be coupled with reasonable medical judgment that the mother has a life-threatening physical condition or serious physical impairment. The Texas Supreme Court also held that the lower court erred in creating a good faith standard in place of the law's reasonable medical judgment standard. The plaintiffs argued that not every doctor might reach the same medical judgment, creating a potential battle of the experts over certain pregnancy cases. The court wrote that a subjective standard focuses on a doctor's intent rather than medical facts. Therefore, the state high court held that a reasonable medical judgment did not mean that every doctor need not reach the same conclusion and can turn to peer-reviewed best practices for how best to treat their patient. The Texas court also recognized the state's historical commitment to protecting unborn life. The history of abortion, the court wrote, in Texas demonstrates the legislature's unmistakable commitment to protecting the lives of pregnant women experiencing life-threatening complications while also valuing and protecting unborn life.
Amen.
That's what the court wrote.
Amen.
So a very good decision. It's amazing, you know, we have Texas, one of the pro-life states here, that passed legislation that protects women from these abortion butchers and certainly protects these children from these abortion butchers that will just brutally end their lives. And then they tried to use the court system to overturn that. And I am so pleased that the Texas Supreme Court sent a very strong unanimous response to this lower court judge. You know, this nonsense of judges thinking that they have the ability to become super legislators and literally rewrite the law. Who in the world do they think they are?
I don't know, and it seems to be happening more and more in this nation.
Well, you know, and I'm thinking we had a history of lots of activism at the Supreme Court, particularly in the 70s.
This is where
Roe versus Wade came out of,
right.
1973. 1971, Lemon versus Kurtzman. We had the affirmative action case in college campuses, 1978. We had the Trans World Airline case, which weakened the protections under Title VII employment law for people of faith. All those happened in the 70s. All those cases in 2022, 2023 have been overturned by this current Supreme Court.
Right.
So there is a pendulum change that's taking place where this activism is now shifting another direction, where courts and judges more and more, and it depends upon who appoints them to the Supreme Court or to the federal bench, who nominates them. More and more, however, we're seeing judges adhere to the rule of law because there has been this discussion, two different viewpoints. Is the Constitution a living, quote, Constitution that judges just say what it is and they change it on their own? Or is it a Constitution where words have meaning and you have to interpret those words? And you may not like the outcome. Well, you have a way to change that, and that's through constitutional amendments, not judicial rewriting of the law. That's how it is done. And I think those are the two different approaches. The one that was predominant was this activist approach. And the activist approach happened because judges did not like the Constitution. They did not like religious freedom. They did not like the sanctity of human life. So they imposed their own view under the rule of a particular decision. And the people did not respond. They just went along and accepted it as though that's the way it is. Fortunately, that pendulum is changing. But again, it matters who's in the White House. It matters who's in the governor's mansion. Because, for example, in the White House, it's the president who nominates the members of the Supreme Court, who nominates the Federal Court of Appeals judges, who nominates the lower court judges in the federal courts. And the Senate has to confirm them, but if they don't have good candidates to decide, they either reject them all or they end up voting to affirm some of those that are bad individuals, bad in the sense that they are activists, and by being an activist, they undermine the entire system.
And that's why it's so important to have a different levels of courts. As you see here, this trial judge tried to take the law in his own hands. Well, then you can appeal to the Texas Supreme Court, and then they get a unanimous decision in Texas. Same thing happens. You don't get a good judge at a lower court. You can appeal to a higher court and all the way to the highest court if need be.
Well, and you look at, for example, Florida. You know, on the federal level, you had President Trump. He nominated all these individuals on the federal bench, a court of appeals, district courts, and the U.S. Supreme Court. He nominated all of those. And most of those individuals are very solid judges that are adhering to original intent. Same thing happened in Florida. Governor DeSantis nominates all these justices on the Florida Supreme Court. And the Florida Supreme Court now is more adhering to the rule of law, whereas before it was an activist court. Mm-hmm. Elections matter. Mm-hmm. For more information, I encourage you to go to lc.org/churches, or you can just go to lc.org, click on the churches tab. We have information there about what churches can do with regards to educating about laws and political activity. lc.org/churches, or just click on the churches tab at lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.